Hey, how you doing?
Nothing makes sense anymore.
Are you okay?
Maisie broke up with me.
Well,
it's gonna be okay.
You're right, Clarence. I want you to meet Keanu. No. That's the cutest cat I've ever seen in my life.
Why's your door open?
Keanu.
Keanu!
I'm sorry.
Oh, what's up, bro?
I'm here because my place got broken into. Has anyone shady come by here?
I mean, the 17th Street Blips.
The 17th Street Blips. Okay, where are they?
17th Street.
Let's just go check it out. What's the worst that can happen?
One beer, please.
I'll take a white wine
spritzer.
What?
You can't talk like that. You sound like John Ritter all the time.
You in the right place?
Yeah, we're in the right place.
Tectonic.
Nice. My name is Shark Tank.
Oh. Every day I'm hustling.
Every day I'm hustling. Cheddar's got Keanu. We in the market right now for like a gangster pet.
You serious?
Oh, boy. This month is finally over, and we ending it with a bang, people. And by this month, I mean this month of so-called, quote-unquote, black films. And Hollywood decided to end this month with a little film played at a film festival, South by Southwest to be exact, where critics walked out loving it, and that is, or people too for that matter, and that is Keanu, the quote-unquote parody of John Wick, which, by the way, I'm here to tell you people, it's not a parody. Actually, I don't know what it is, to be honest. I think it's actually just an action comedy. It's not a parody of John Wick. It's just an action comedy that happens to have references to, you know, films of this nature. But I digress. So let's get into a plot synopsis here. You got the geniuses, Keegan-Michael Key and Jordan Peele. I use that term genius loosely. I like the show. I'm not a huge fan like everyone else. Like, how people fall in love with it. I even, at a point, there became a time where I just stopped watching it, to be honest. And I would just catch clips of it. I mean, I would never watch the whole shows anymore. I like their work on Mad TV. Jordan Peele, though, I don't think I was that really too fond of his comedy. And Keegan-Michael Key, he had his moments. I'll give him that. The show, I thought, though, was pretty good at first, but it kind of just wore off for me. I wasn't in tune with it. But once again, let me give a plot synopsis to Keanu. So you got Jordan Peele here, who plays Rel Williams in here, and it opens up pretty much with a big drug bust. But let's go ahead and give the story that kind of involved it. Okay, I guess it does kind of do. The drug bust happens, and it's between these two murdering killers and shit like that, pretty much. And it's played by Keegan-Michael Key and Jordan Peele. They're in makeup and costumes and stuff like that. You can't even tell it's them, but they're doing some outrageous, crazy shit. And, you know, they ended up killing, I don't know who it was, but it was a Spanish dude. I don't want to say the Mexican cartel, but at the end of the movie, it damn near kind of looked like the Mexican cartel, so I'm just going with that. And they you know, these dudes are cold-blooded killers. And then they find this cat, and like, oh, man, this cat is something. The cat gets away, though. Cops bust in, take these fools in, and the cat is on his right. And then next, you know, we open up with what's going on, and Keegan-Michael Key, he plays Clarence, and he's the cousin of Jordan Peele, who plays Rel Williams in here. Rel Williams gets a phone call from his cousin. He's like, that bitch left me or whatever. And that's what the movie says, people. That ain't just me. And you know, next thing you know it, Keegan-Michael Key's like, yes, thank God that bitch is gone. Hey, but don't worry, man. It's going to be okay. Don't worry. I'm on my way right now. And sure enough, the cat Keanu shows up on his doorstep. He ends up falling in love with this cat, as if he even says the cat needs me and I need him. So it's kind of like I lost the woman I supposed to be in my dreams here, because she said I wasn't ever gonna amount to nothing, and he starts smoking a bong. So it's like, yep, probably not gonna amount to nothing. And then next you know it, Keegan-Michael Key's character, Clarence, his wife goes out of, I don't want to say out of town, but they go on like a trip with the kids and another husband and wife couple and stuff like with his kid.
And Nia Long, it was played by Nia Long, plays Hannah in here. They go away on a trip, so, you know, it's a boys' night out, if you will. They go see a movie. Next thing you know, they come back to Real Williams' house, and his house been broken into, and the cat is gone. Next thing you know, they're on a mission where they meet these gangs, the 19th Street Blips. I think it was 17, 19, whatever, it doesn't matter, Street Blips, which is ran by Method Man, who plays Cheddar in here. And he pretty much thinks that they're these two dudes you see at the beginning of the film, that did the badass killing in the church and stuff like that, or whatever the hell it was. So he kind of tells them, you know, why don't y'all teach my boy something, and maybe I'll break a deal with y'all, because he has Keanu. So they kind of go on a route where they're going to act as if they're gangster to, you know, get closer and closer to Keanu. And thus, that's your plot synopsis. Let's talk about the damn film. You critics have lost your goddamn mind when it comes to this month, huh? You, like, see, you know, it's funny because BVS, everybody kept saying, oh, critics was paid off. Critics was paid off. I'm going to tell you this right now. You can't buy people off with money, but you can't for me. I won't lie. If Disney would have paid me to fucking talk shit about BVS, they wouldn't have had to pay me. The movie would suck, but I would have took that goddamn money. I would have shit on that. I would have nitpicked on that goddamn movie. But that's just me. But, man, when it comes to this and Barbershop, you motherfuckers is taking money from the diversity train in this bitch, because this movie's kind of fucking horrible, actually. And I'm not even saying that to hate on the fucking film. I actually was somewhat, there was in the back of my head, had a little bit of excitement going into it, just because maybe I should trust Keegan and Jordan here. You know, I've seen them do some things on their show, and it was like, eh. And I know that they got the writer, because Jordan Peele wrote this. His co-writer was Alex Rubens, who wrote the Key and Peele show. The director was the director of the Key and Peele show, which was Peter Tenzio. So it's just like, well, they got all the elements here. I don't know why Jordan and Keegan didn't write it. I don't know why he wrote it with the actual writer of the show. Or maybe he should just have the writer of the show do it. But this movie is kind of a fucking mess, actually. And it baffles the shit out of me that critics actually recognize this, but yet they're somewhat giving this a pass because they think it's somewhat hilarious, I guess. And I swear to God, if it's just the diversity bullshit, I am going to fucking start giving all these goddamn movies fuckits from now on without even reviewing them or anything. Just fuck them straight all ahead. But the opening of the movie, first 10 minutes, I was like, okay, somewhat different, intrigued here. And, you know, after that, I was a little bit bored, but then, you know, and then I got kind of annoyed for a second because, you know, Jordan Peele started treating this cat like it was a fucking person and shit, where, you know, Keegan would come over and say, hey, let's get out of here now, whatever. And then Jordan would be like, you gonna say goodbye? And he's like, why would I say goodbye? You gonna come over? He's like, no, not to me, to Keanu. And he has to, like, do a little, you know, Eskimo kiss with the cat and shit and say goodbye, Keanu. I'm just like, ugh. Another thing too, what I have a problem with, I'm sick of this goddamn storyline. And I don't mean the storyline of, you know, the whole the save the cat and them. I'm sick of this goddamn storyline with black people in these movies, where they are the whitest motherfuckers you will ever meet in an all black film, if you will. And then they have to portray themselves as something that they're not, which is usually gangster. And they, and oh my God, this movie went the whole fucking way through with that. And I was so fucking annoyed. I was like, ugh. Let me point out some positives though. Because I thought there was some things that somewhat saved this movie, if you will. Keegan-Michael Key and Jordan Peele, they have on-screen presence together. Their chemistry is tight. And there's some moments where I actually chuckle. I don't think this movie has any gut busters or anything that really make you laugh out loud. At least for me, it wasn't. I thought this was... It's like, imagine taking one of their weakest skits and making a whole movie out of that. That's what it is. I think that trailer would have been a funnier skit on their show of this movie, the trailer as well, would have been a funnier skit on their show than this actual movie would have been. Because you would have been like, oh,
that would have been crazy if they made that, but, you know, they're never going to make that. But since they actually made it, you're just looking at it going like, this is actually, goddamn it, stop it. This is like one of the weakest shit I've ever, oh, and I ain't going to say ever seen, but it's the weakest skit that they could have done possibly. But there's some chuckles in there, and it's probably in the first, I want to say hour, but that's probably me being generous, maybe about 30 minutes, 40 minutes, whatever. And it's more of like, or just a smile. It's just that. I never once really laughed out hard in a movie. And then, because this movie's 2 hours long, I'm hearing some different words from some people. Even when we left the movie, I was talking to one critic, and there was one thing about, there's a version of this that's over 2 hours. There's a version of it that's under, like, an hour and, I think, 35, 40 minutes or something like that. The one I saw was an hour and 56 minutes. And that was enough of my goddamn time, to tell you. The acting here is great. I ain't gonna say great. It was good. It was good on everybody's part. A lot of people are praising Method Man in here. You know, rapper, obviously, so, you know, gotta talk shit. And I will say this, he is much better than fucking Common and Nicki Minaj. But that ain't really saying much, because the role he's playing in here is like, well, I mean, that ain't that really that hard for Method Man to do. He's playing the leader of a gangster squad here or whatever. So it's like, yeah, that's not really hard for Method Man to do, coming from a group called Wu-Tang Clan in Shaolin, in, you know, New York and stuff like that, growing up on the streets and shit. So not really out of his range, but I digress. He did an okay job for what he was given. I thought the jokes in here were unfunny as shit, though. And mainly it's just because it's Keegan-Michael Key. He plays, you know, this stereotypical, oh, hey, I'm black, but I'm white on the inside. And Nia Long, you know, she's going out, and she tells her husband, hey, just be yourself and try to have fun and stop trying to pretend you are who you are. So he starts to get more in tune with this, hanging out with this gang. And you got this gang, Tiffany Haddish, I think I'm pronouncing that right. She plays High C in here. You got Trunk, who's played by Daryl Britt Gibson. And Jason Mitchell, played by Bud. And there's Stitches, who's Jamar Neighbors, is his last name. And they're all part of Method Man Cheddar's gang here. And that's who you really spend the most of the movie with, is with these four cats right here. And Keegan-Michael Key's character becomes kind of in tune with them, or, you know, being their buddies and teaching them a bunch of shit that, you know, is white as hell, but he's kind of convincing them. It's like, oh no, it's gangster shit. Like, there's one joke in here, and I remember how I said that, okay, the first 10 minutes you get some chuckles in there, it's probably decent. That's because that was kind of like the opening punchline of the joke. Now imagine expanding that 10 minutes into about an hour, and I said this movie is an hour 56 long or whatever, an hour and 46 minutes longer of those jokes extended. This movie runs jokes into the fucking ground. It's repetitive as fuck, first of all, but the jokes in here are the same goddamn jokes over and over again. And you would think the writer would know when to end a damn joke in here, but he does not know when to end the jokes. And I don't know if it's Jordan or Alex. It's one of them. I want to say Jordan, probably, but it could have been Alex as well, or both of them for that matter. But there is one joke in here that if I hear another goddamn reference to, I'm going to blow my fucking brains out. And that's George Michael. You hear his song playing Freedom in the trailer, and that's not the first time you're going to hear George Michael in here. They make so many goddamn George Michael references in this movie that you would damn near think it's like a subplot to this. It's almost the equivalent of in Ted and Ted 2 that they reference and brought up Flash Gordon so goddamn much that the actual actor that played Flash Gordon just showed up. I ain't gonna lie, I was waiting for George Michael's, I don't know what it was. I was waiting for a ghost of him, an appearance from him, or even if they would have showed like he lost his driver's license like they were doing in fucking that last Bourne movie with Jeremy Renner, where they just kept referencing him and they just show like photo of his ID or something like that, because they bring his ass up in here so much you think that this is a George Michael parody or something. And that joke gets old as fuck, Matter of fact, they almost damn near end the movie with George Michael when the gang, you know, finds out that who Keegan-Michael Key ran. They're like, oh, that George Michael Chaz. It's like, oh my fucking God, dude. It's not funny anymore. It wasn't funny the first time, and it's not funny now. So why are you still doing this? That joke just drove me fucking insane. I think when that got brought up, that's when I was just like kind of tuning out of the movie. I was just like, okay, I'm kind of done with this. Please, you didn't reference this man 7 times in this fucking movie already, and not to mention, you know, Jordan Peele, they're doing this in their drug run, if you will, because, you know, pretty much they're making this deal with Cheddar, and you know, Anna Faris comes in, makes a cameo because they're selling the drugs to a celebrity, Anna Faris. And you'll later find out the point of that too, people, which, I ain't gonna lie, that kind of blew my fucking mind. I was like, seriously? Are we fucking serious about this right now? But they make a deal, and, you know, they end up, Anna Faris end up getting killed. So this girl she had in there and this dude, whatever, because High C's like, fuck that, I'm killing everybody in here. And, you know, it kind of throws Jordan Peele's character off, where he's just kind of like, I kind of want to get out of this now. But Keegan Michael Keaton's Key is having too much fucking fun now. He's just like, yo, I'm having fun, man. This is a good time, whatever we're doing. And, you know, that's when High C starts trying to kind of, well, at least Jordan Peele's getting a little fresh with her and stuff like that, trying to flirt with her. But she's kind of like, get the hell up off me, whatever. So later in the film, she ends up kissing him or whatever, and even watching Keanu, he just kind of like, that kind of fucking came out of nowhere. But so these two dudes at the beginning of the film that, you know, these dudes are dressed up as, they show up in the film because they're looking for this cat now. They're looking for this cat, and they trace them back to this club where, you know, Keegan and Jordan are at, and they end up tying them up. And I don't know how the cat broke this rope or anything like that. I mean, because that would take a long time. But they end up killing these dudes, or so they think. I mean, this movie ends like it could be a possible sequel to it or something like that. And Method Man takes their ass, and he's like, y'all gonna do one more mission for me? And he pretty much takes them to Luis Guzman, who plays Bacon in the film. He's like the drug cartel. He's like Method Man's like, I want the reward for bringing these two in. They helped murder your cousins back at the place where those other two dudes killed them and shit like that. Oh, he's like, oh, that's my cousin's cat too, whatever. And, you know, shit kind of goes haywire when they're just like, you ain't taking the cat. I'm just bringing you these two fools with her. I'm gonna keep the cat. So Method Man say, fuck that, I'm keeping the cat, which I thought was just fucking ridiculous. I'm just like, really? Why would you even bring the cat in the first fucking place? But then the movie kind of turned into some action film. And I'm not going to lie, I kind of got lost on what this was. I was like, okay, this ain't even a parody no more. This is a straight-up action film, and not a good one either. I'm looking at this going like, yeah, this ain't funny no more. And it's gotten kind of, this is a tad bit serious. I mean, the humor there is like visual gags and stuff with the whole driving stuff, but I'm watching this and going like, yeah, this is not a good action scene. And they're trying to do the slow motion and shit like that. It's like, yeah, I'm not laughing at that because I actually hate that in action films. So the fact that you're pointing that out in this and making it longer, it's like, yeah, I'm kind of annoyed by that. So Method Man's crew end up, all of them living, you know, the whole Spanish cartel, they're dead now. And they show up at the house. Not to mention, beforehand, Keegan-Michael Key, He got a call from his wife. She's saying, like, you know, hey, this guy got frisky with me and shit like that, because obviously his wife didn't come to the tree, which he should have told Neil Long. Oh, hell no. You ain't going to this then anyway. If his wife ain't coming, then you not going. But, you know, he's a little bitch in the movie, so he wasn't going to tell her that. And she kind of tells him, yeah, he was getting kind of fresh with me. I ain't going to tell you what we'll talk about when I'm getting home, because I'm coming home early. And, you know, this whole thing busts out in front of his house. Method Man with his crew show up, and then out of fucking nowhere, I'm not gonna lie, I thought it was one of the fucking stupidest twists ever. I was just like, really? Come on, movie. I'm sorry, movie, but you're not smart enough in your writing right now, and you don't really have a story going on here to do something like this, where they pulled the biggest twist where High C turns out to be a real cop, and they're like, oh, what about Anna Faris and them people you shot? Oh, they were paid actors, whatever. We hire paid actors all the time to do drug busts and stuff like that, because they're just bored and got nothing to do. And just like, oh, word. I was like, You know, at that point, I'm not going to lie. I was just like, yep, I think it's time we just hurry up and wrap this movie up now. Now, I will say the movie did bring me back by, you know, because everything was like, oh, it's going to be a happy ending and stuff. Well, I ain't going to say bring me back. The movie didn't really bring me back, but it was one of those smiling, chuckling points I had or whatever where, you know, they think they're free and everything's going to be happy. But then High C tells them, yeah, I still got to arrest both of you, though, because you kind of broke a lot of laws. So I was like, oh, that's really funny, because usually these movies just end with them walking away or whatever, or something like that. But no, these niggas is going to jail. They even show you, like, 6 months later, them in jail. And I was like, yeah, they kind of deserve. And Nia Long, good Lord, that woman is still fucking hot. I mean, she gets turned on because Keegan-Michael Key punches the dude that tried to hit on his wife and shit like that. She's just like, ooh, yeah, she got turned on by her. And then she starts wearing these outfits. She was visiting him in prison. And this black dress, yeah, I was like, God damn, girl. I want to get a piece of that Twix bar. I want right and left.
The problem with this movie, though, is it gets sidetracked by a lot of visual gags and pretty much not even the main point of the movie, which is finding the cat. It gets sidetracked with, you know, pretty much Keegan and Jordan's problems, you know. Keegan being this, you know, who's pretty much a bitch. And now finally get in tune with actually having some, you know, real hardcore people to hang around with that actually like him and stuff like that. And, you know, Jordan learning to, I guess, pretty much fight for something he loves now and shit like that. So the movie kind of gets sidetracked with their little subplots going on. And there's so many different subplots going on here that really doesn't even wrap nothing up to the point when the movie comes to the end of it. You kind of like, wow, this was just one of their bad skits that got really extended out long. And you look at it and go like, it had all the elements from their show working on this. And I don't want to say that these dudes possibly can't do comedy outside of, you know, these short 2-minute skits that they had going on, because you do see the chemistry and the screen presence they have on here. But it just wasn't working for this film. It wasn't working at all.
Another problem is, too, is the jokes going too long. They don't know when any jokes in here. And I already said that earlier in the review and stuff. But, you know, to start off with another George Michael joke in here, Keegan-Michael Key, he smokes the holy shit is what one of these new drugs is called. And he passes out and has, like, two moments where, you know, he has a moment where Keanu, the cat, is voiced by Keanu Reeves and starts talking while they're playing like Matrix music in the background and stuff. And it's kind of like a take the red blue pill kind of thing. And then there's a moment where he's dancing with fucking George Michael and playing one of his songs and singing it and stuff like that. And I was just like, wow, these are just filler. Like that middle half was just so lackluster and boring. That was just like, damn, you guys really don't have nothing to offer. To the point where the main problem is, you know, all this talent attached to it as far as, you know, behind the camera and stuff that are attached to Key and Peele's show and the two leads on the camera as well, is that, wow, this is seriously the best you can give. And then, you know, by the end of the movie, like I was about to say earlier, by the end of the movie, you sitting there going, what was the point of this? Because I really didn't even know what the point of the movie was. It really actually didn't even have a point. And it can't make up its mind whether it wants to be an action film, a comedy, action comedy, or is it trying to parody things? And it seems like it's doing all three of them, and they don't mesh well together. I didn't hate the movie. I didn't walk out angry. Not gonna lie, they dropped that N-bomb so many damn times, though, you would have thought it was me on camera or something like that doing a movie spoiler show, because it felt like, you know, I thought they was going to have some kind of commentary to say about, you know, at least gangs or anything like that, or the N-bomb, or just the way, you know, oh, some black people are trying to act like as if they're white or something like that. But no, there's none of that at all. There's no social commentary, nothing like that. And it was just like, oh, what was the fucking point of y'all making this then, other than y'all just wanted to get y'all first feature film out there that you worked behind the camera and on camera on? So it was like, oh, okay. To wrap things up, and I didn't hate it, but I do wish, not gonna lie, I wish I would have done something better with my time, whatever. But I will give credit where credit is due. I thought the acting in here was just fine. That's on everyone's part. Nia Long, she's not even in it long or whatever, but she's still just amazing, because she's fucking beautiful as hell, by the way. So I'm not gonna lie. Method Man,
hey, he's barely on screen too, but I think he did his job of what he had to do. The high C trunk, Bud, and Stitches and all them, whatever. Yeah, they do their job as well. None of them are terrible. They're fine in what they're giving, because they're just playing gang members, so it's fine. Keegan-Michael Key and Jordan Peele, although I don't like that joke or that routine of making a whole movie out of, you know, black people who are too white get caught into either they're going to act gay or thuggish or something. Like I fucking can't stand that joke. You can tell these dudes have chemistry on screen together. They have a lot of charisma. They have a lot. They were the only things making me saying, like, hey, I'm not going to give this a fuck it, to be honest, or whatever, because, you know, do one thing that annoys the shit out of me, it's coming in fuck it territory. But they were good. I got to give credit to that one. And I had some chuckles every now and then. I don't think you need to fucking rush out and see this in theater. I don't know what critics are smoking right now. They're just smoking the love of Keegan-Michael Key and Jordan Peele. I don't know how many times I can say this nigga's name, because, damn, shorten that fucking name. I'm going to call you KMK, okay? I'm just going to call you K, or Key. We already got a K on the site, so you Key to me. But yeah, I don't know what critics are smoking right now. Their love for Key and Peele right now is just too high to the roof, because this movie is not as good as everybody's fucking saying. And the thing is, they know that it's got these fucking problems, or but they, oh, we're just going to give it a pass anyway. Black Lives Matter, I guess. The ending probably, you know, not the dread ending, but just the ending part of them getting arrested too for all the shit they're doing and spending some years in jail, I thought that was kind of funny. Not laugh out loud, but I was like, oh, that was nice to see. And I think that kind of saved it. And for me, it's going to just get a stream it. I'm going to give it a stream it. Now, you don't need the, it's not the worst thing you can watch. I think if you watch that at home, though, you'd just be like, it's background filler, if anything. But if they would have had another goddamn George Michael reference or something to end the film. Oh, and by the way, there is a little something after the pre-credits, if you will, where those two guys, they shot up that they were dressed as. They come back to life. So I don't know how. I don't even know how the fuck no one went in that warehouse they were in or whatever. But if they would have ended it with a George Michael reference or Keegan would have left his phone in there and George Michael music playing, oh, this would have been automatic fuck it. Matter of fact, George Michael, you get a fuck it just on the merit of being mentioned so many goddamn times. Fuck that dude. Seriously. George Michael, eat a dick.
This my shit right here.